Praise God. God is good. And he's good all the time. Well, what do you have to say about that? Y'all just kind of stopped and it kind of caught me off guard. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. How many of you can say, you know what? I give God every praise, every breath of my life. Lord, I want to give it to you. God, every moment I want to spend in your presence. God, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this service. God, right now, Lord, I thank you for every person, Lord, that's under the sound of my voice. God, you brought them in here today, God, to love on them, Lord. And right now, I loose your power. God, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into this place. I speak to addiction, and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. Chains be broken off of God's kids. I speak to infirmity right now in Jesus' name, and I tell it to fall off in Jesus' name. God, right now I lose power. God, I lose provision. God, I lose favor right now, and I lose healing in this place. God, right now, Lord, what the enemy has meant to irritate people today, God, I thank you that you're turning it around for your good. God, I speak to irritation, aggravation, depression, anxiety, and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for who you are. And God, I ask that you'd walk down every aisle. God, search every heart right now. Lord, and fill us with who you are, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm so happy to be in God's house this morning. And at first, we had planned for the older kids to have their class. But I, when you're the pastor, you get the right to make changes at the last minute. And that's exactly what I did. And I'm sorry for you kids that are disappointed about your class. But one of the most important things for Jeremy and I as pastors of Paris Christian Center Church is that people understand what they are doing. If you don't understand parts about your salvation and your Christianity and your relationship with God, you're not going to get very far. You can't just do something out of a routine because your mama did it, your grandma did it before her, everybody else in your family did it. No, you got to do it because you got it, you understand it, and you know what you're doing. See, you got to live out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. You can't live out anybody else's salvation but your own. And that's why it's very important for you to understand certain things. Now, I grew up in the church. I've been in church my whole life. I was in church every time these doors were open, whether I needed it or not. And look here, I always needed it. I was a bad little girl, okay? Those of you that watched me grow up, you know that. You know that's true. But we are going to have a water baptism tonight. And, you know, to me, I think it is good for people to understand what that is. It's not just about dunking yourself in the water or getting to go in the water first, or it's not just a routine because you're a Christian and you heard that's the next step. There's meaning and power in water baptism if you can understand what you're doing. Now, a lot of people, they say, you know, I was baptized when I was a kid. That's fine, so was I. And if you feel good about that, then good. You may sit there and you may hear this message and you may think, you know what? I need to get baptized again. This would bring on meaning to me now where I didn't fully understand it. So we're going to minister on water baptism because I want whoever gets baptized tonight, I want you to understand what you're doing. I don't do a lot of messages like this. Most of my messages are wham, bam, we're going to get you fired up and all of this stuff. But you know what? God wants you to understand every aspect of who he is. He wants you to understand why you're doing what you're doing. He wants you to understand the meaning of what you do when you're saved. And so if you will go with me this morning, we're going to first look at Matthew chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. If you're joining me live on Facebook, I want to welcome you into Parish Christian Center Church. I realize you could be listening to any other pastor in the county, and I thank you for listening to me. I also feel the need to give you a little warning. I'm not going to sugarcoat the gospel. The gospel doesn't need sugarcoated. I'm just going to put it out there because God's word can stand alone. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's life. If you will apply the word of God into your life, it's active. It's living and it's active. It's living and it's active. When you plant the word of God in your heart, you've planted a living thing in your heart. When you ask Jesus into your life, you've brought somebody into your life, the only one that can ever make a difference inside of you. So we're going to look this morning at Matthew chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. And it says here, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Thank you, God. You know, have you prepared a place for Jesus to come into a situation? Have you prepared your life for God? Have you made the path straight? Look here, there's some of us, we say, God, I want to know what your will is. And God will tell us his will, Brother Mikey, and we'll go, no, I don't want to do that. I meant the part of your will that's pleasant, Lord. No, look here. When God tells you what to do in your life, when he tells you how to do it, that's what you do. Have you made the straight path for God? Have you prepared the way for him? And so it says, John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. And people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Now what we have here is baptism pre the crucifixion. These were baptisms that happened before Christ was crucified on the cross. Those baptisms were about, hey, stop sinning. Get rid of your sin. Repent of your sin. And that's what John the Baptist did. He went around and he baptized people. And he told them, look here, make room for God. God is coming. The one that was promised, he's coming here. He's on his way. And he began to baptize people. And as he baptized those people, they began to repent of their sin. And they began to try to get sin out of their life. And it says here, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And what he was saying is there was people coming, and really, they were just trying to look out for their own rear ends. They really weren't interested in stopping the sin. What they were interested in is not having a punishment. Everybody else was getting baptized. They wanted to get baptized. And John's going, where is the proof that you've laid that sin down? Where is the evidence? Produce fruit that you're stopping sinning. Okay, now look here. You got Christians, you got believers, you got churchgoers. Where do you fit in? See, because just shaking my hand isn't going to save anybody. A lot of people put faith just in good deeds. Look here, good deeds alone won't get you in heaven. You hear me? Being a good person and that's it ain't going to get you there. It's a decision to follow Christ, to take up your cross daily and follow him. And follow him. It's not easy following Jesus all the time. Why? Because it's going to make you stop what you're doing. It's going to make you put aside what you want to do and do it God's way instead of your own way. God ever tell you to do something, you think, Lord, I don't want to do that. I told you I didn't like that person. I don't want to forgive them. Did you miss that part where I told you I didn't like them? See, we have to figure out who we are, who we want to be, where we're going. And it says here, it says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, and I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to even carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you've come to me. See, Jesus himself was baptized. Jesus himself was baptized. And here's John, and he's going, now, I'm not good enough to baptize you, Jesus. You're the one. You should be baptizing me and all of us. I'm not really even fit to carry your sandals. See, but look here. Jesus said, I didn't come to this earth to be served. I came to serve. See, you really want to imitate Christ, you do what he said, but most importantly, you do what he did. See, the word says, be holy as I am holy. Look here, a lot of believers lost their holy part of them. They're doing everything that everybody else is doing, and they're wondering why their lives are so messed up. It's because they left the part of the program that they didn't want, and they took only the parts that they wanted to go along with. Look here, that's not how this goes. You want to be saved? You need to be saved every day of the week. This is not a Sunday deal. This is not a Wednesday deal. This is a life deal. And see, your life hangs in the balance of the choices that you make every single day. See, the Word of God says, choose you this day. What you going to have? Are you going to have a blessing or are you going to have a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? Now, he also said, now I have come that you'd have life and that you'd have it in abundance. But yet we see many believers not living in the abundant life. Why not? Because of the choices. It's important for you to understand the essence of what baptism is, because look here, it's not enough to just go through the motions of your life, of your Christianity, of your walk with the Lord. Because the first time something real big happens and you're just doing it for looks, you're going to be done with that. If you can grab a hold of the one that's got a hold of you and hang on, he's getting you through what you need to go through. He's getting you through. He said, let us go to the other side. Let us go to the other side. So here's John, and he's trying to back out of this. He's telling Jesus, now look, I'm not good enough for this. And look here, Jesus just said, look, man, you got to do this. This is what you've been called to do. I need to be baptized just like everybody else. And so Jesus says, I need to be baptized by you. Jesus says, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. With him, I am well pleased. You know, when I make it to heaven, there's a couple things that I want. Now, if you don't have humor, this is probably going to offend you. You're in the wrong church if you don't want to be offended, because let me tell you something. Sometimes I offend people, I don't even know it. But here's what I want. I want to live on that street of gold where the sweet tea fountain is. Okay? I want half of that fountain. I want a split combo deal. I want half of that fountain to be sweet tea, and I want the other half to be Dr. Pepper. Okay? And I want the Holy Spirit to come by when I get a hankering for cherry, and I want him to just Holy Spirit the cherry and the Dr. Pepper, like only the Holy Spirit can. The second thing I want is I want them white, glow-in-the-dark teeth that guy on Mercy Me has. All right? Every time Pastor Jeremy plays that video, I say, God, when I get to heaven, I want them teeth. Lord, now give them to me. You said you'd give me the desires of my heart. I want those. But on a serious note, what I really want, Keisha, is I want to hear God say, Kelly, well done. Well done. You ever have a bad day and you feel like you didn't do well at anything? Let me tell you something. Life will do that to you. Circumstances will do that to you. Problems will do that to you. But I want to tell you something. Don't lose sight of the overall big picture. And the big picture is eternity. The big picture is eternity. See, God's going to look at you and he's either going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, or he's going to say, child of God, you did a good job. I don't care what anybody said about you. You did awesome. Now get up in here. See, we need to know things. So many people do things and they do not understand what they're doing. That ain't going to fly here. I want you to know what you're doing. And I don't want you to have that blessed assurance and understanding of why you're being baptized. Why you need to be saved. Why you need to live your life holy. Why you need to put God first. Why you need to be a tither. Why you need to plant the word in your heart. Because look here, I'm not a pocket Polly. Y'all remember them? All right. You can't stuff me in your pocket and keep me with you all day. You wouldn't want to even if you could. Somebody said to me the other day, I wish I could just stuff you in my pocket and you make me act right. I thought, oh, girl, that would be a bad combo, me and you. You don't want me up in your pocket. All right. So Jesus himself, he was baptized. He was baptized. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verse 16. So we just talked about baptism before Jesus Christ was crucified. And John the Baptist, he was telling people, repent of your sins, stop sinning, and be baptized. The one who was promised, he's coming. Let's get baptized. One day, there John is. Here comes Jesus. John baptized Jesus. Okay? So now, we have reached the point where Jesus was crucified. He has been resurrected. That stone was rolled away. And in verse 16, Jesus begins to tell us some instructions. Now, how many instruction readers do I have up in here? Bless you guys. How many people y'all like to just wing it? Look here. If I can watch it on YouTube, that's what I want to do. But I've had to give that up because I've noticed about YouTube, here's the problem that I run into quite often. They'll tell you how to take something apart like the faucet, And they don't give very good instructions on how to put that thing back together. They don't. And $200 later, you could have avoided some much unwanted aggravation. I've been there. I've been there. And so when the Word of God gives you instruction, it's not advice. It's not a, oh, here you go, take it or leave it. No, these are instructions. I can't tell you how many times I've put something together just trying to eyeball it. And I get to the last part, and there is a very vital piece not used. Usually that piece is what holds the whole thing together. I know nobody else has done that, but I do it. And one day I had an epiphany, and here was the epiphany. I am going to stop putting things together because I married a wonderful man, Pastor Jeremy, and he loves to read instructions. He's weird like that, and he loves to put stuff together. And he's very meticulous about it. One time he bought this little puzzle, and these puzzles, Pam, they're smaller than my baby pinky's fingernail. And he got tweezers out, and he said, honey, let's spend some time together. I said, are you trying to kill me or something? You know I don't have the patience for no puzzle that you're putting together with tweezers. And then he had to get a little light. So here he is, and he had the light, and he had the tweezers. And I'm going, God, I don't know whether to thank you or question you. Thank you, because look here, looks like Pastor Jeremy's going to be wrapped up in that a long time. I get to binge watch my shows that he hates, because them puzzles, those look a little bit challenging. And so here is some instruction. Christ has been crucified. He's lived out that part of his life, why he came to this earth and dwelt among us. And here he is. And he says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And I want to stop right there, because, you know, so many people, they say, well, I can't see God. Look again. Look again. God ever move a mountain for you out of your life? That's God. You can see God. God ever wrap you up in his peace of who he is? You can feel God. God ever make a way for you where there was absolutely not a way? Amen?
Hallelujah.
You can trust God. See? Here they were, and when they saw God, they began to worship. Let me ask you something. When all the chips are down and you can't see God in a situation, what are you doing? Are you worshiping him even then? Or have you just gotten so irritated you've just taken a time out and a vacation? See, when they saw him, they began to worship. But then, even then, some of them doubted. Let me tell you something. When it looks like God is nowhere to be found, God is right up in the thick of it. When it looks like everything is going to go wrong, he's right there, Angie, and by the grace of who he is, he's the only one holding it together. It don't matter if we can see him or not. He's there. Why? How do we know that? Because he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you to the end. So look here. Here they are. They saw him and they began to worship. But even then, some of them were doubting. Some of them were doubting. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, everyone say, therefore. Here's our part. Go and make disciples of all nations. See, God never called you to sit at home all day long and eat Little Debbie's. Darn it. What did he say? Yeah, that's right. Say if you can eat them all the way. He said, go. Go. Sam is always looking for the loophole. He always finds one. The Word of God says, hey, you folks, you go and you begin to spread the name of what I've just done. You give hope to people. Go and make disciples. Go make disciples. So it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. See, we don't get to pick and choose who we give Jesus to. You ever notice how much of that is that goes on up in religion? Well, if you don't wear a long skirt and long this to church and don't wear no makeup, then we ain't going to love you like Jesus would. Let me tell you something. As long as you got some clothes on up in here, you come up in here and you sit down and we're going to love on you. Amen? You don't got to be a certain way. You don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to have the right last name. You don't have to any of that. That's called religion. And we're not up into that here. What we're into is loving people like Jesus would. Why? Because that's what he told us to do. He said, go and make disciples to all nations. Not just the good people. Not just the ones we think's got it all together. Not just these folks over here. Everybody. Everybody. See, he died for everybody. That person that you've got trapped in those chains of unforgiveness, what we have to come to realize is that he died even for them. And he loves them just as much as he loves you. You ever just really hating on somebody and you just think, ugh. And then you realize Daddy God loves them so much, he loves them just as much as he loves you. And so it says here, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus himself, he was baptized. Whoever's going to get baptized tonight, you'll be baptized in the name of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Why are we doing that? Because that's exactly what it says here to do. You ain't going to find this pastor up here telling you something that I can't show you up in the Word. If a pastor wants to stand behind a sacred pulpit, look here. They better be able to give you chapter and verse for every little thing that comes up out of their mouth. If they can't, you don't want to follow a pastor like that. Amen? If it ain't in the Word, it ain't right. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 6. Now I'm going to get into explaining baptism. Baptism, here's how it works. We get saved, and then we get baptized. That is the order. You receive salvation, and then you're baptized. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Rooted and built up in him. Live in him. Anything that you try to do that's not in Jesus, you're going to fail at it. Live in him. In him we live. In him we move. And in him we truly and only then have our being. You need to be rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Have you realized that everywhere we look, there's some hollow and deceptive philosophy going on? A lot of doomsday preppers out there. Okay? A lot of things. Lots of astrology. Lots of horoscopes. Lots of that stuff. What does the Word say about it? It says here, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Look here. You want to know truth? You read your Bible. Thank you. I think those are wedding vows. If anybody wants to get married after this, I'll do that. This church is very sporadic. Got a call the other day and they said, Pastor, I want to get married. Really? That's great news. When do you want to do that? I'll look in my schedule. No, Pastor. Today. Okay. Well, you know, I got some jail ministry I got to do, blah, blah. When does your jail ministry get done? Well, I mean, usually about 2 o'clock. Well, I'm going to be there at 2:01. I'm ready to make this right. Look here. Praise God. I'll marry you at midnight if that's what you want to do. So it says here, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Put off the sinful nature. We are all born with a sinful nature. When you received Christ, you received him, and you probably said, look here, God, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins. I invite you into my life. I ask you to come in and to make me new. Okay? That's what salvation is. That's what getting saved is. Being saved and being baptized, those are two different things. And so, here we go. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Now I'm going to go back there. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. How many of you can look at a part of your life and say, you know what, I was dead in that sin. I was dead in that sin. See, there's points where we're all dead in that. There was no way for us to make it to heaven by the old covenant. There was no way. Before Jesus Christ died, we had no hope to spend eternity in heaven. God loved us so much that he gave his son to be crucified on a cross to make a way for us. Before that point, we were dead in our sin. There was not a way. That's why he did what he did. See, when God asks you for your life and we want to flare up and be rebellious, look here, you best go back and you best look at what he did. Because when it came to us, he didn't spare anything. He gave it all. See, when God asks you for your life, he's not going to apologize about that. He's asking for your life. And he wants your life. He wants all of it. And until he gets all of it, there's parts of it going to be very messed up. What parts are going to be messed up? The parts that you're holding back that you won't let him have. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins. Let me tell you something. If you're in here today, if you're listening to me live, I want to tell you God is not mad at you. God is not holding things against you. God is not holding grudges. He is not up there sitting there waiting for the next time to punish you and to be mean to you and be a child abuser to you. No, God is looking for a chance to bless you and to make your life better. See? But we have a responsibility to do as Christians, and what we have to realize is we have to look here. When God forgave me, he forgave it all. So many times we disqualify ourselves because of things that we've done. Look here, you've not gone too far. You've not done a number 20, and everybody else around you is doing number 10s, and so you're not good enough for the forgiveness of God. No, no, God forgives you. And he doesn't hold it against you. But what he does say is, he says, now forgive as I have forgiven you. So when we have problems forgiving people, what we have to look back to is, how did God forgive me the last time I really messed up? How did he do it? Did he hold it over me? Did he keep bringing it up? No. He forgave. And he put it in a little C called forgetfulness. And he doesn't bring it up. So it says he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. Look here, there was not a way for us until Christ died for all of our sins. And let me tell you something. Not only did he die for our sins, but he became the sin. The one that knew no sin became the sin. That's how he made the way. When you are baptized, baptism is a symbol of you saying, I'm going to put off this sinful nature. And by golly, I'm baptized with Christ. I died with Christ. When Christ died on that cross, I died with him because he took the sin that was supposed to be for me. And not only did he take it, but he became it. See, you got to make that personal connection. And it's so hard for people to personally connect because at any point in time, I mean, people don't know how to act anymore. You go out, you see a family trying to have a family dinner, and here's what it looks like. Everybody, even the babies, they're on their cell phones. My kid keeps going, when am I going to get a cell phone? When you can pay your own bills and you grow up. That's when. Ain't need no cell phone. And you ain't getting one. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away. He took it away. What did he do with your sins? He became them and he took them away. I remember when Evan was a little guy and we were feeding him. And by the looks of him, you wouldn't think the kid was picky, but he was a very picky child. And we would put things in front of him. And even when he was in his high chair, he would say, take it away. And Nana Millie, okay, honey. And she'd take his plate away. That's why he's so rotten. That's why he ain't here. Because he's rotten. I'm his aunt, and I cut his umbilical cord, and I can say that. But he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Everything that you've done that you're unproud of is nailed to that cross. With Jesus, and he became it. You don't have to be the sum of all your failures. You don't have to live feeling like you're terrible because you've made mistakes. That's not what God has for you. But there has to be that understanding of why we do certain things. And so it says here, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So, water baptism, the actual water part, it symbolizes the purity and the cleansing from sin. It's a symbol of purity. It's a symbol of cleansing of sin. It's you making a mental note, a public display saying, I have put off my sinful nature. Does that mean that you're not going to ever sin again? No. Not what that means. What it means is you've made a decision to stop willful sin. Do we sin sometimes? Yes. Do we mess up sometimes? Yes, we do. We all fall short of the glory of God. Amen. Baptism helps us identify Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When we can comprehend and identify sin, and we have asked Jesus Christ to come into our lives as our Lord and Savior, at that point, it's time to be baptized. See, the age of accountability. When I was 7 years old, on my seventh birthday, I woke up tyranny, and there was a change in me. I woke up that morning and I knew something was different. And I went into the living room. I've always been an early riser. I'm just going to get up at the crack of dawn. That's just how it is. I wish I could sleep in, but my sleeping in is about 6 o'clock. That's just how I am. And I remember walking into the living room. We lived in a house about 900 square feet, and that's little these days. And I sat on that old brown ugly sectional that my parents had. And God began to speak to my heart, and I began to hear the voice of God for the first time at 7 years old. And he said, Kelly, you've got sin in your life. Get on your knees and ask me to take it out. Get on your knees and ask me to come in. See, don't tell me God can't speak to kids, because God can speak to kids. He probably has an easier time talking to them than he does us. We done got too smart for our own britches. So I knelt down there and I began to pray. Before I knew it, my daddy was out there and he put his hands and he led me in the sinner's prayer. Let me tell you something. I've sinned a whole lot since that day. See, God will talk to you. God can talk to a kid at any age. At any age. See, God didn't do, he didn't send his son for us to sit down here and have a miserable life. God doesn't have a miserable life for you, but the devil sure does. God doesn't have a life of failure for you, but the devil sure does. See, it's so important for us to understand why we do what we do. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We could not become that before the crucifixion. We didn't even have a chance. Okay? So, when we baptize, what happens, and I know this is very literal, and I'm a very literal pastor. I got a lot of people in here, they like to know step-by-step stuff. Miss Mary will call me. I'm about to set the trays out for the meals for Monday night. Now, which direction do you want them to go in? I'm like, have I come off that OCD? No. Apparently I have. And she goes, which little square do you want the cake in? How much of the cake do you, how many chocolate chips do you want on each cake, each little square? I'm going, I'm not that crazy. I probably am. It's important for us to understand. So I'm going to explain to you, when you get in that water tonight, or maybe you've already done this, when you get up there and you're ready to be baptized, Pastor Jeremy and I are going to be in that water with you. Here's what it means. It means that you've turned from the old life of sin to a new life in Jesus. You're done trying to do it your way. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. We're done with that sinful nature. We're going to move forward. We're going to resist the devil. We're going to see him flee when we resist. It means that we are publicly identifying with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. It means we are openly joining the ranks of those who believe in Christ. As you stand in the water being baptized, that symbolizes Jesus dying on the cross. He died, and he died for you. He died for all of us. He would have done it for just one. As you are lowered into the water, that symbolizes Jesus was buried in the tomb. As you are raised from the water, that symbolizes Jesus rising from the dead. See, I just read to you scripture and verse where it says, we were baptized with him. He took our sin. See, when he died, he did it for us. So when we're baptized in him. We're baptized in who he was, what he went through for us. He was beaten. He was crucified. He was hung on a cross. And guess what? He rose again. He rose up all out of all of that. When you're there, Keisha, and you're standing in that water, I want you to remember, he was crucified for me. When we put you under, he was in a tomb for 3 days for me. When you come up out of that water, he rose again so I could rise again with him. See, don't tell me that God can't work all things out. God can work all things out. If he rose from the dead and there's some things in your life that look so far gone, look here. Don't rule them out. If God wants them things, he'll raise them back to life. See, it's who he is. But it's important for us to understand baptism. You die with Jesus Christ. You were buried with him. And now you're raised to life. Okay, last place for me, Romans chapter 6. Baptism is an open declaration of the life that you've chosen to lead with Jesus. It is the putting off of sin. It is the turning away from sinful nature. It is being cleansed from sin. It is coming back up and realizing that when God says that He can make all things new, that He and only He has the power and the ability to do that. So Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. See, are you ready to die to sin? I'm not telling you you're never going to sin again, but see, have you made up your mind? I'm going to try not to. Has it made you absolutely miserable yet? Have you been miserable in that sin and you're like, oh, I'm sick and tired of being miserable? Amen. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. See, you don't have to live up in that old life. You don't have to live up in that old way of you doing how you did it years ago. When God tells you you can have something new, you can have something new. And in the middle of you having that new thing, I'm going to make darn sure you understand what you got. I bought a computer a few years ago, and I didn't pay attention. That's the wrong thing to do. Make you miserable. I hated that thing from the moment I got it. Well, 2 years later, I just called the whole Dell department and I said, I'm going to tell you what I want and you tell me what you think is going to fit me. I'm not going to try to fit myself and my stuff up into a computer. You're going to find something that's going to suit my needs and going to fit my needs. Well, okay, Ms. Kitson. And I said, now here's what I need. Blah, 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 blah. She went through the whole thing. Then he told me what I needed. I said, now, are you sure that's going to suit me? Yes. Okay. God's going to give you a new life. Not one to frustrate you, not one to irritate you, not one that's full of the same problems that you always had. New life. Amen. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him. Have you been crucified with Christ? So that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. You don't have to keep sinning. A lot of people, they have sin in their life. And they say, well, this is how it's always been. I'm just going to keep going with it. Look here. At any point in time, you can turn that boat around and you can say, you know what? I take the new life that God said I can have. I take the victory that God said was already won. And you're allowed to do that because He gave His Son. Just as Jesus was baptized, see, everything that He did, He was an example to us. It's not enough for people to just get in water and be dunked. Because if that's it, that's all it is. Getting in the water and getting dunked. Let it mean something. Make an identification with what you're doing. Christ, I died with You. Lord, when I want to do something that I know isn't right, that part of me, the rebellious part, God, that died with Your Son. Lord, I've put that nature off, and God, I've taken that new creation, and I choose to live as that new creation instead of the person I used to be. You are not defined by what you've done in the past. You are not defined by the mistakes that you've made. And so it says here, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. See, is the life you're living, have you done it for the Lord? In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but you're under grace. You're under grace. You're not under something that said that you were never good enough to make it into heaven. You're under the grace of God. This morning, I'm going to just ask a very simple question. Two questions, actually. Does anyone in here need to be saved? If you have not said the sinner's prayer and you want to invite Jesus into your heart, I'm going to ask you to come up here. If you have been away from the Lord and you say, Daddy God, I want to come back to you. I want to rededicate my life to you. I'm going to ask you to come up. Because look here, God is so close to you. He is so close to you. He made a way for you, and he loves you so much. Pastor Jeremy, come up here and pray with me. Leland, Pastor is so proud of you.